الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah Ta'ala informs us that our real object in life is the Akhirat. Allah says, Tilka, that is the house of Akhirat. That is what we have to aim for. We have come in this world not to live in this world. We have come in this world to prepare for Akhirat. Yeah, we are only temporary, we are not here permanently. And we have come here, as it is said in a hadith, الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. Dunya is a farm of the Akhirat. We have to prepare for the Akhirat. So our object of life is the Akhirat. One person went and visited a king, and the king was boasting about his mansion, his palace, how beautiful, what he has got, the gardens, the bathroom, the bedroom, everything, what a beautiful palace. So that person asked him, before you, who lived in here? So he says, my father. He says, where is your father? He says, he died. And before him, who lived here? My grandfather. Where is your grandfather? He died. And before him, my great-grandfather, where is he? He died. So he says, don't you learn a lesson from there, that you're boasting so much about this mansion, but it's only temporary, it's not permanent. What you're boasting so much of a thing which is temporary. Like in our times, if we have to understand, you went and stayed in a 7-star hotel, and you took the most luxurious apartment. What facilities, the scenery around there, everything. Your own private swimming pool there, what and what you can think of. And somebody comes and visits you and you boast, look at this apartment, what I've got here. Person will say, you're a fool, you're only hiring it for 2 days, for 1 week, 2 weeks. It's not yours, you're not going to stay here permanently. Exactly like that, no matter what we have got of dunya, everything of dunya, it's only we are transit here, we are in a hotel room. We are going to leave from here. Nobody's. So to boast, I got this, I got so many properties, I got so big bank balance, I got this, and all that we are boasting, this is the height of stupidity and folly. Real what a person can boast about is what I've got in the Akhirat. And in this dunya, nobody can boast because we don't know whether it's accepted by Allah or not. But when we get there, and a person who got Akhirat, that is something to boast about. Not this dunya which we know that we are going to leave behind. It's temporary. No matter what we have got here, it's the height of stupidity to be arrogant and proud and to think, oh, I own so much, I own so much. At the time of maut, everyone's balance sheet comes out and it shows 0, 0, 0. In fact, it mustn't happen, there is debit balance, minus. That we are owing, that we got gunas, we haven't got sawab, we didn't prepare for Akhirat. So the real life to prepare is for the life of Akhirat. Just now also we mentioned, in the time of Harun al-Rashid, the famous king, there was a person by the name of Behlul. He was a majzub, a very pious person, but a person who in his own way was pious. And like a person who is a bit like me, but would be a very pious person. And he was very informal, friendly with the king. So the king one day gave him his walking stick and told him, go and give this walking stick to the most stupid person. So he went, every person he finds is more stupid than the previous person. So a few months had passed, time had passed. Then he heard that the king is ill, he's sick. So he came and visited the king again. They were friends also. So the king was on his terminal illness, deathbed. So he asked the king, king, in your lifetime, you must have gone to visit your different provinces, the different places in your country, to go and inspect, to see what's happening. He said, yes, I used to go regularly. I had to make my visits. He says, when you went on your visits, I'm sure you made all proper arrangements for your travel. He said, perfect, every detail, security, accommodation, food, housing, my ministers, for everyone I made perfect arrangements. And intelligence on the security again, everything in detail. So he says, you did so much for every trip. He said, yes. He says, now is your trip for Akhirat. Have you made all these arrangements for Akhirat also? So he said, no, I didn't make these arrangements for Akhirat. Say, in that case, I find the most stupid person, you are the most stupid person. You take this walking stick and I give it to you, that you didn't prepare. We all know we have to die, we have to go to Akhirat, and if we don't prepare for Akhirat, what more stupid person can be? We prepare so much for this dunya. I usually say, when it was the apartheid government, in order to save their skin, they made homelands for all the people. For Botswana, Venda, what and what, everywhere, they had made homelands. But for themselves, they didn't make a homeland. When the government went out of their hand, the black government came, now till today they're crying for a homeland. They want a homeland. When they had the opportunity, they didn't make it. But these were boora, and the Quran Sharif says, qawman boora, stupid people. These were stupid. When they had the chance to make their homeland, it was their government they could make, they didn't make it. Now they're crying for it. So it must not happen, we even more stupid. Today is our government we are living. We got the opportunity to do amal, to prepare for Akhirat. And if we don't make our homeland of Akhirat, we don't make our place of Akhirat, we only worried of dunya, beautiful house, swimming pool, jacuzzi, sauna, holidays, traveling, clothes, all dunya only, and we didn't prepare for Akhirat, there can't be any person who's more stupid than that person. So our real object of life, which we have to change our niyat, Akhirat must be our niyat. In Zambia, in about 64, when they got independence, they gave them chance for about 4 or 5 years. Those who had British passports can change it into Zambian passports. And those who don't change into Zambian passports will not be allowed to do business, retail business. So the people were very worried. We don't know the future of the country if we take out the Zambian country. Many people went away to Britain. The people who stayed there, they were in this dilemma. About the same time in Malawi, they made the law when they got independence after some time that you can only, Indians, Asians can only trade in 4 centers. Plantaya, Lilongwe, Limbi and Zomba. In the farms and that you could not trade. And there the people were doing, most were on the farms, their shops. And they were living more or less like hand to mouth, no real roaring business, living comfortably, very nicely. But they thought, now we all must go to the city, with who are we going to do business? And we know one time that all amongst ourselves, cost price we should sell. Now you're selling everyone cost price, then what profit you going to make? So they saw the end of their life. And an Indian man, if he doesn't do business, is his qiyamah. He have to do, it's in his blood to do business. Now how are we going, what are we going to do? Our Buzurg from Nizamuddin told them, this is the point that I wanted to make, that you stay there. Up to now you were staying for dunya, for business, for money. Now change your niyat, you are staying here for deen. Just change your niyat and you keep on staying. They listened to the Buzurgs, which was against all outward. It was destruction outwardly. It was qiyamah. It was blackness outwardly. But they listened to the Buzurgs and they stayed. Today the whole economy Allah has given to the Muslims. They control the whole economy. So if we change our niyat, we are in this dunya here, not only South Africa, we're in dunya, not for the sake of dunya, but for Akhirat. Wallah, you will be shocked and surprised what Allah will give you. If you sincerely, so our real object must be Akhirat, we are working for Akhirat, and dunya, we take out time and we see to our dunya, Islam didn't prohibit us. Islam is that balanced religion that has permitted us to do our dunya also, get married, have children, have a business, have a home. Everything is permitted in Islam. But that's not your object. That is the thing to understand. Today, unfortunately, we have made dunya our object. And we take out time for dunya for our deen's sake. Now we go for namaz, so much, 1 to 2. When shop is closed, we're going for namaz. From dunya, we took out time. Make our whole time for deen. And from deen, take out time to do our dunya. If we can change that, but remember, the innamal a'malu bin niyyah. Allah judges everything according to intention. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Every person gets according to his intention. If our niyat is akhirat, the akhirat is so vast. Just to give us an example, like in the egg of a fowl hen, so small egg, that chicken that is inside there is living. If we could communicate with that chicken, or with the baby in the womb of the mother, if we could communicate, and we tell that where your world is, that little shell of the egg, or the womb of the mother, that is very small. You are coming out into a dunya that is very, very big. That egg, that chicken is used to that life in the, that is its end all and be all. That is its world. It thinks this is everything. The baby in the womb of the mother thinks this is everything. And you tell it, you don't know. In dunya there are aeroplanes flying. There are ships sailing on the sea. There are trains that are moving, buses, trucks there, huge, huge mountains, buildings. It can't believe it because it's in that small world of its own. But when it comes in this world and it sees this world, it's not prepared to believe in 100 aeroplanes, thousands of aeroplanes, thousands of ships, thousands of trains. Now it sees the world is so big. Just like that, exactly like that, understand, there is no doubt. This dunya is even smaller than the shell of the egg of the chicken. And it is even smaller than the womb of the mother of that baby compared to what Allah has got in akhirah. How big that is. So we made our niyat a small niyat. 10 businesses, 10 filling stations, 20 there, 50 there. We made a small niyat. Make that niyat of akhirah. Allahu Akbar. In Tafsir Burhan it is written, a person who reads Bismillahirrahmanirrahim one time, Allah builds 5,000 palaces for him. And the 5,000 palaces, each one has got 70 chambers, beautiful, huge halls. Each chamber has got 70 thrones. Each throne has got 70 carpets. On each, and not to dunya's things here, all Jannah's things, what quality. Each carpet has got a Hurul Ain sitting on her, on it. What is this dunya? But really, we might think that, oh, so much we're going to get. But check ourselves, even before eating, we don't read Bismillah. We don't read Bismillah at all. Any other time also, we take it for granted we are reading, but we are not reading. And that when we see what reward we could get on Bismillah and we didn't do it, we'll be ever so sorry. That how much Allah is giving and we didn't take it. So I asked Dr. Safiyeh, mashallah, Dr. Yunus, who is the compiler of, what's it, key to? Key to the treasures of Jannah. So I told him, you must be, you're knowing your kitab back to front and front to back. He said, no, not yet, no amal stuff. That is the attitude a person must have. That amal we have to make. Today we're teaching in a Darul Uloom, we're giving bayans, but the amal is not in our life. That amal has to come. So much we think we're big maulanas and big champions of Islam and doing so lot work of deen, but Bismillah, the alif of deen is still not in our life. We're thinking, and at the time of death, reality will open. Then we will be sorry. Anyway, so akhirat is our object. But we are living in dunya. And Islam, I told you, is a balanced deen. Islam didn't prohibit us from dunya. We need a house here. We need to earn here. We need a car. Twin this times a cell phone. All these things also. And Islam didn't make it haram. Use it halal, jais way, and for the correct purposes, no problem. Islam is permitted it. And if you use it in order to make your akhirah, this dunya is also enamored from Allah Ta'ala. So, in that, for akhirat and for dunya, for all to do, one major first step that we all need is knowledge. For akhirat, knowledge of deen we need. For dunya, knowledge of dunya you need. You can't build a house if you haven't got the knowledge of the architect has to work, engineer has to work. They need all that knowledge. The building construction company, they have to work. The bricklayer, how to mix the mortar, the dagger, all that work. You need knowledge for all that. Food, to boil one egg, you have to have knowledge how to boil an egg. How to fry an egg, everything to make your biryani, all this you need knowledge. So dunya's knowledge is necessary. And to make your namaz, to know who Allah is, akhirat, we need knowledge of deen also. So both knowledge is necessary. Knowledge of dunya also and knowledge of deen also. But let us again get our perspective right. The eternal, everlasting, the superior life is akhirat. So that knowledge is more important. So yeah, also make our niyat for ourselves, our families, everyone. We must get knowledge of deen. That is important. Dunya's knowledge is necessity. Without that knowledge, we won't be able to fry an egg. We won't be able to use a cell phone. You don't know how to use a cell phone. We need that also, what is necessary. But that is not our object. That is a necessity. Let us understand the difference between a necessity and what is our object. Deen is our object. Akhirat is our object. So the knowledge of deen is our object. Dunya is a necessity. We have to fulfill our necessities. So the knowledge of dunya is necessary. But it's not the object. It's not our aim. It's not our goal. We have to have it. So accordingly, put it in the right perspective and the right fraction. The main is akhirat. That was our main. Dunya also we see to, but much lesser extent. How much it is necessary. In Arabic, the word for necessary is darurat. Darurat, we use it in Urdu also, we use it in Gujarati also. I bow jaruri vastu che. Ye ek zarurat hai. It's used, the same word is used in Arabic and Urdu, Gujarati also. This word, a darura, is made from the root word of darar. And darar means harm. That if you don't fulfill that necessity, you will be harmed. A simple example. If any one of us needs now urgently to go to the toilet, we'll have to go. We'll have to excuse ourselves from the masjid and we'll go very fast walking. We have to, it's a necessity. If you don't go, you'll harm yourself. You'll mess your clothes. Your health you will impair. So you have to go. It's a necessity. So that is a necessity. And then the rule, the principle of Shariat, of deen, with regard to darurat, is a daruratu yuqaddaru biqadri darura. A necessity has to be fulfilled to the extent that it is necessary. How much it is necessary? The toilet we have to go, it's a necessity. How long are we going to sit there? The toilet is that jail for which you can't pay bail. Nobody can say, I'll pay my bail, I won't go toilet. It can be the king, it can be the nabi, it can be the wali. Everyone has to go toilet. And you can't pay bail and say, no, I won't stay in the toilet. And you can't put somebody else, like make, can make hajj badal. Your timeshare, you can send somebody else to use it. You say, this timeshare of toilet, I won't use it, you go and use it for my sake. No matter who you are. And you can be such a constructive person that you don't waste 1 minute in your life. But you'll have to go sit there and sit like a stupid fool for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You're a man who don't waste 1 minute in your life. But you got no choice. You'll have to go sit there and you can't do anything else there. You just have to sit there and see to your need. So anyway, that is a necessity. And in some countries, they call the toilets restrooms. So if you take the literal meaning and you think it's a place to go rest, it's not a restroom. They just call it restroom. It's a place where you just go and relieve yourself. And everyone's necessity is different. Somebody finished their work in 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Somebody needs 5, 10 minutes. It depends on your health, condition of your stomach, constipation, diarrhea you got. So everyone's necessity changes also, and everyone's necessity is different. Exactly like that, dunya is a toilet, a place of necessity. And everyone's necessity of dunya is different. You've got your daughter, You want her to be a good Muslim, her object, you understand, is akhirah. Dunya she has to know. She has to do baking, she has to do sewing. So much knowledge she needs. She doesn't know all deep maths and science and all the other things. She doesn't need all that. She needs so much. There is no doctor in a Muslim community. You need a doctor. So he'll need more. He needs maths, he needs science, he needs biology, he needs chemistry, he will need all that. But that girl who's going to get married and be a housewife, she don't need chemistry and biology and astronomy and all those things. So everyone's necessity, we should see what is the necessity. You want your son to become a Maulana. So he will need maths also, he'll need language also, but he won't need all the other deep knowledge. So see how much, class 10 is enough for him, class 8 is enough for him. There is no doctor in the town, you want to make your son a doctor, then he'll need more knowledge, then he has to go to matric, but not everyone. So we have to see our necessities. And also this misconception that for our women, many girls who become doctors, etc., they say, Manana, your wife, you don't want to send your wife to a male doctor. So I have to become a female doctor. So your wife can come to me, she can see a female doctor. This is also wrong. It is permissible for a female to go to a male doctor. And the rules are written in Sharia. The mahram, the husband must be with. And only that part of so much of the body must be open, how much it is necessary. And in order to serve somebody else, to serve Maulana's wife, to serve Tablighi's wife, to serve Sufi Sahib's wife, that girl must go through Jahannam to become a doctor. And she must sacrifice her Jannat and go through Jahannam to serve somebody else's Jannat. That is no intelligence. You don't use your topi to shine your shoes. You don't use your topi to shine your shoes. That you use some red to shine your shoes, not your topi. So you don't give away your deen for somebody else's dunya. So that is also a total misconception which is amongst our people. So anyway, this dunya's education is a necessity. It must be kept to a necessity. This homeschooling where it is done, alhamdulillah. It is because the girls also, boys also need some basics. And to that extent, we don't have to go now that we're going to make our school so big and we're going to high levels, etc. Some people feel we need our Muslim universities. Chancellor must be a Muslim. The Vice Chancellor must be a Muslim. Professors must be Muslim. We don't have to fall in all those things. These things of dunya, they are the toilets. And we don't, in Darul Uloom, Dioban, always the thought comes out that brings secular education in the Darul Uloom. Make the Maulanas independent and they must earn their own living. They mustn't be collecting wages from the community. That's also a total wrong misconception. The president of our country, he earns money from the donation of the people, which are forced, taxes. So if the Maulana is getting money from the people, what's wrong with that? They must pay for him. He's doing them a service, not of dunya. He's doing a service of akhirat. He's making the akhirat. He's making the akhirat of your children. He's giving you jannat. He's giving you your children jannat. And you can't see to his necessities. The president, all the ministers, what all the corruption they doing. And what big salaries they cook. There nobody says that no, they are living on the people's money. And they living on the people's money which is forced out of the people taxes. And the Maulana is living where the people are giving voluntarily. They are not forced to give that money. So what a great difference, but we don't understand. So anyway, so this dunya's education is to the extent that it is necessary. So the girls, one Maulana, who was running an Islamic school, when we are very personal, close friends also, informal with one another, and we always debate this issue, we don't agree on this. I have my views, he has got his views. One day, after quite a while, he came to me in the Darul Uloom. I was sitting at my desk and working. He told me, Maulana, get up. We are friends, so he told me informally like that. I stood up, he embraced me for long. He says, now I understand what you told me. He was bayat with Haji Farooq Sahab. And Haji Farooq Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, explained to him. He says, these girls, you are making matriculants. When you giving them a matric certificate in their hand, you are now giving them the license to go and work in offices. You are giving them the license to go to universities, to colleges. And he says, don't fool yourself. They are going through Jahannam in the offices. All the sins that they get involved in. We know what is. Today, sexual favors is a major thing in the commercial world. Eh? And whoever you are, you fall prey to this. If you want progress, if you want something, you have to offer sexual favors. All that they have to go through. The end of the year, office parties, that is Jahannam. That, how many from homely type homes, the girls who are homely type, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they were brought to the parents' house, drunk they are. They are drugged. Eh? So all that to go through, all that. And he told, Mana Haji Farooq Saab explained to him, that all that guna is in your share. You gave them that license to go to work in the offices. You gave them the license to go to university. And what happens in university? Dr. Muhammad Kaji of Welcome, he explained to me, and I saw it with my eyes. We were in Barcelona in Spain. And the place where the masjids were, where we were working, just one street away was a university. And it was summer, Isha was 12 o'clock at night, quarter to 12, 12 o'clock at night. So till that time we were awake. You couldn't walk in the street. Never in my life, anywhere, did I see such nudity. This university environment, Dr. Muhammad of Welcome explained to me, he went to enroll his son at one university. He says, when I went to the university, I said, am I putting my son in Jahannam? And he said, I thought I'm not in South Africa, I'm in Europe. The environment that exists, the nudity that exists there. So for our children to go through all this, the parents are not doing a favor that they're giving them university education. They are being zalims on their student, on their children. They are oppressors of the students. They are putting them into the fire of Jahannam. One time, when I was teaching in Germiston previously, in the Maktab, and there was imtihan, annual imtihan. So the whole community also came to the madrasa. Germanists also were there. So one man, it was the days of apartheid, when non-whites were not allowed in universities here, you had to go overseas to study. So one man came to my ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, Hafiz Sahib, I want to send my daughter to UK to become a doctor. And this is about 50 years ago. When that time UK, the dini environment, what is now in UK, there was nothing like that. Masjid, no dini environment. And he says, you know the freedom there. And we were under apartheid. No freedom. There was restriction in every way. She's now a bird flying out of the cage. And she's going to be on her own. Please make dua. Allah must protect her. Hafiz Saab was a Allah wala person. He pondered for a few seconds and then he said, what you are telling me? You are telling me you are sending your daughter in the rain. And I must make dua. She mustn't get wet. If she's going in the rain, she has to get wet. That environment is like that. To send our daughters, to send our sons. Really, if you go and see it, it is haram to send them in that environment. What is happening there? Which Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained, and many people couldn't understand previously. Now some people understand it. He says, if you don't send your child to school, meaning this in that environment, you do homeschooling, that is in that environment. You don't send your child to school, and he's a street sweeper his whole life. This is more better than for him than going to school and becoming some professor or giving degree. Because there actually you are going into Jahannam. To send your child into Jahannam, how can that be right? Rather let the child not become so rich and wealthy. Today our object is to be rich, to have money, a lot of money. Halal, haram, right way, wrong way, but money I must have. That's not our object. Our object is akhirah. So mashallah, this homeschooling way it is taking place is a great thing. And mubarak are those parents who Allah gave this understanding to send our children here. Blessed are those fathers and mothers. Fortunate are these children that they are not being put into the holes of Jahannam. And they are brought into the gardens of Jannat. And the necessity of dunya is also being fulfilled. And the main object, preparation of deen, akhirat. One time somebody sent us something from Zimbabwe. And in newspaper it was wrapped. Zimbabwe newspaper. In the letters to the editor, there was a letter of a non-Muslim woman who wrote a letter. And she said, I'm a proud PhD I'm a proud PhD. What she meant by PhD? Permanent house dweller. A non-Muslim. And what is وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ? That is the translation, permanent house dweller. That I just stay in my house, I don't go out of my house. She said, I'm a proud PhD, a non-Muslim woman. So just see that that was our condition. That yeah, our girls are in a safe environment and they are getting the necessities of deen and the necessities of dunya and everything seemed to. This is how it is. For a girl, she must do her BSc. What is her BSc? She must learn baking, sewing, cooking. In other words, how to run a house. If she can run a house successful, many, don't try and bluff ourselves. Many homes are breaking up today. The girl doesn't know how to cook. The girl doesn't know how to run the house. My sister Marhuma told me, one girl who was getting married, she knew absolutely nothing of the kitchen. So they sent her to her auntie to go and learn basics of cooking, etc. So the auntie took it for granted that at least some basic things she will know. Told her, boil an egg. So she put the mug on the stove and she opened the egg and threw it in the water, boiling the egg. Literally went and boiled. And remember, a hungry man is an angry man. If you don't get your food, and if the wife doesn't know how to prepare food and how to cook, from day one, that house is in problem. Today, this Western lifestyle that we follow, now on marriage, before anything else, honeymoon. And what is honeymoon? Two monkeys looking at the moon. And they are in cloud seven, enjoying their life. And after their honeymoon, they come down on earth. The reality hits them. So one couple, after their honeymoon, they came home. The girl phoned her mother, Mommy, please, Mommy, pick me up. I can't stay here. What's wrong? Why? What happened? It's only 1 week. You just finished your honeymoon. My husband is using four-letter words on me. Swear words. Five-letter words. Worst swear words he's using. What's he saying? He's telling me to cook. He's telling me to wash. He's telling me to iron. He's telling me to clean. They were never used to it. In their mother's house, they are not trained. They are going school, university. They got no time for all these things. And how are they going to run a home? And how many women who've got doctors, medical doctors, everything, after 2-3 years, they're housewives. So why are we fooling ourselves? Going to do all that. And finally she lands up in front of the kitchen, in front of the stove. Her life is spent. So get our orientation, get our priorities right, get our perspectives right. This is the way to go. This homeschooling that we do, our girls, the necessity of dunya to learn. They are not deprived of it. And the main object after that is made. And in that case, we are muhsin. We are doing favors to our children. And in this whole procedure, there are very many things which are... See, when a person falls asleep, especially when he can't fall asleep, it takes him long. Every now and then he's looking at the watch. Now it's half past 10, now it's 11, now it's 12 o'clock. I'm not sleep. But which minute he falls asleep, he never knows. Which minute you wake up, immediately you see the watch, you can say, I woke up at 5 past 5. I woke up at 20 past 4. Or middle of the night, 20 past 12, I woke up. You can see that time. But which minute you fall asleep, you don't know. In the same way, the fall of an individual going to wrong things and the fall of a community and a nation, nobody can pinpoint when they start falling and they're going down. But they are indicators. Just like we see the watch, now it was 12 o'clock, now it's half past 12, now it's quarter to 1, we see it. Like that there are certain indicators. What are those indicators? When our dressing changes. Then you must know we are now going on the wrong line. Now there is trouble. And I usually say that when your son starts wearing sunglasses at night, you must know he's got a problem. And when he wears the sunglasses on top of his head, not on his eyes, then he's got a big problem. And when he wears his sunglasses upside down in the back, then you must know everyone has got a problem. That is a major problem. When our daughters start wearing jeans and they need 15 minutes to wear the jeans, so tight to pull them up, and when they jump onto a bus, then they have to jump like a frog onto the bus. It's so tight they haven't got movement. and all this tight clothing on all the parts of the body, think of the detail, most unhealthy. It does not allow blood flow. Whether it's for man, we wear some tight clothes on our body. It does not allow blood flow, and most of this is the worst place it restricts the blood. For a woman, the brazier. Cancer has been to a great extent to the use of braziers in women. It restricts the blood flow. For men, the briefs, the jockeys, the most unhealthy. This is the, when you start going in the wrong, and today what is the height of stupidity? You buy a torn jeans which has been patched, it's more expensive. You buy a new torn jeans, and it's more expensive than the jeans that is not torn. So how stupid aren't we? The woman's shoes, high heel shoes, worse. How wrong it is. Unhealthy, scientifically proven, but just fashion. And every woman who wears that funny type of shoes, those long sharp pointed shoes and high heel shoes, let her go and do her shopping or go to a wedding function, anything, first thing she comes home, kicks off the shoes. And her old sapat she wear, now she's comfortable. But all that day, she knows that it is a torture I was going through. Now when I wear that old sapats of the house, now nice I feel. So this is why fool ourselves, clothing. Then our language starts changing. Then you must know our downfall has started. Our language in our homes keep our... Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he came to South Africa in 62-63, when he left the country after a 3 month stay, very few masjids those days, or he went to almost every masjid in the country. And besides masjids, many other places he made bayan also. When he left, people asked him, your observation South Africa. He said two things. Your people's gunas have gone too far. Over the limit your gunas have gone. And the other thing is your language. You have given up your language. This is in 63. That's 50, 55, 60 years ago. You have given up your language. Language has a great effect on a person's culture, on his aqidas, on his way of thinking. Language is very important. In our homes, if we can introduce where you have Gujarati as your language, Maman as your language, Cockney language, whatever, Urdu language, whatever is your house language, try and keep our language. Very, very important. Today we have thrown our language overboard, because of which the feeling of the take of deen, orientation, we have lost it. Today, yeah, I'm making bayan in English here in the masjid. What can we do? We have to make. But days you can, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah explained that, for example, a translation in of a bayan. What is it like a person? It's itching him. And he scratches. And he enjoys to scratch when it itches. And even in namaz when it itches. How a person, in namaz tell yourself, that I'm not going to scratch now. After namaz, I'll enjoy and scratch me. You'll see there's no itch left also. It's just to distract you from your namaz. Anyway, when it itches a person, he scratches. If you ask even your wife, somebody else, even your wife to scratch you, you won't get that enjoyment as you scratch yourself. Because that itch moves around. And it needs more pressure now, less pressure now, everything, sometimes just a little tickle is enough, sometimes a hard scratch you need. You yourself only can know how to do it. So your own language is like you scratching yourself. And if a translation is like somebody else scratching for you, you'll never get that enjoyment what you get, what is in your own language. I don't want to go too long, it's time already. But one Hindu, if he should not give his name, I don't know, perhaps he accepted Islam by now, from Allahabad in India, Rajiv. He was a scientist and then he became a political activist. He says that language, until you don't speak your own language, you will never go front. This is one way in language that they have enslaved us. Today, see in the world, if you can speak Gujarati, you're not an illiterate person. You know your language. If you can speak French, if you can speak Japanese, whatever language. But today they have put it in the minds of the people of the world. Till you don't know English, you're an illiterate person. You don't know anything. What is it? By language they have enslaved people. That Hindu says that till you don't speak your own language, you're speaking somebody else's language, you are enslaved to that people. You will never be able to excel them. In anything of dunya, they will be ahead. Till you don't speak your own language, till then you will never excel in life. He gave some talks in Gujarat area. He says, yeah, your medicine, teach it in Gujarati. Don't teach it in English. Whatever, Maharashtra, then in Marathi. Teach your engineering, your medicine in your language. And the child can only express himself fully in his own language. Learning a foreign language, you can't express yourself properly. So language is important. Our clothing is important. Our food is very, very important. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya Ayyuha Rusul. Allah is addressing the Rasuls are the elite in the messengers. The Anbiya of a lower level, Rasuls are of a higher. These people Allah is addressing them. Kulu minat tayyibah. Halal is in the bag. It must be halal. More than halal, it must be tayyib, healthy, wholesome, food that has got no doubt. When you do that, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, you'll get the tawfiq of amal صَالِحًا. Today we all complain our children are not listening. They're disobedient. They're rude. Their language is bad. Amongst many things, also see what food. The mother is just too happy to give the child a can of Coke and a packet of crisp for lunch. The child also is very happy, but no nutritional value in that. You are destroying that child. You give the child a wealth. One child in America becoming Hafiz just could not learn Quran. And what little he learns, he forgets also. They went to one Maulana. Maulana asked, what is the child eating? KFC, McDonald's, here, all that he was eating. He says, stop that completely. Give him good house food. In 2 weeks, Abad, the child was moving. Learning his sabak easily, retaining, remembering every. Food has got a great effect on what our life. One white woman, Christian woman in the UK, teacher, old, the elderly she became, and she whole teaching was on her hands. It wasn't a job for her to, it was years of experience. So something came to her mind in her spare time, that what is the relationship of the food my students are eating with regard to their academic performance and to their behavior. So she wrote their names, wrote all the academic results and their behavior. And she saw, and then she asked each student, what do you eat? Breakfast, lunch, supper. She saw clearly those students who are having junk food, their academic results are poor, their behavior is bad. Those who are having good nutritional food, their behavior is good, their results are good. Then those students who were weak and whose behavior was bad, she started supplementing them with vitamins. And she saw changes coming. Their behavior is improving, their academic results. Food is very important in our lives. Dressing is very important in our lives. Language is very important. And we pay no attention to these things. These are very important. So make shukr, people have got this, mashallah, this homeschooling year. And try and promote it amongst other parents also. This is the way to go for us in these Western. And it's not only us. Homeschooling did not start in South Africa. The concept is from America. Where they are concerned of the student, the Christian people, in their way, in for their religion, they are worried about them. They started homeschooling there. And if you see the reports, the children of the age of 14 and 15 did their master's degree on. And staying at home and doing housework also, gardening also, learning practical life also. For education, the Afrikaans word is very, very, a very apt word. Opleiding. How to bring a child into society. That is what education is. How to bring your child to fit into society. The education of today is to how to take away a child from society. Our society, namaz, deen, etc. The school education, secular education, how to take him away from it. That he must not have yaqeen on our Islamic values. He must have yaqeen on those things. The schooling of today, the Western schooling in the schools, is to kidnap the brain of the child. The body remains yours. You must pay the fees, you must clothe the child, you must feed the child, you take the child to doctor, everything you do. But that brain is not yours. The heart is not yours. The heart and brain has become theirs. By the time the child is in standard 5, class 7, then the child doesn't now want to go and visit. We say we're going to visit Khala. Child say, I don't play Khala Khala. I go and visit my friends. I'll spend the weekend with my friends. Today it's happening in our homes, but it's inconceivable that our child, our daughter must go and stay by somebody else's house for the weekend. What is going to happen there? Who's going to control the child? And with all the temptations and they in their full youth, what and what? But this is that lifestyle. By the time standard 8, class 10 comes, the child hasn't got value for the Malisap anymore. Malisap is a backward person who doesn't know what's happening in dunya. And by the time the child comes to matric, class 12, the child is not the parent's child also. It's got a mind of its own and it wants to do what it wants to do. It's not prepared to listen to the parents. And in fact, one student came to the madrasa, to the office. He told me, Maulana, I got a problem. What's your problem? That my parents don't listen to me. Must the parents listen to the child or must the child listen to the parents? Hey, today what the children? My parents don't want to listen to me. That is that whole upside down education they are being given. Everything is going topsy turvy. So make sure you have got this, support it and promote it, advertise it, and inshallah this is the way in these countries where we have to have some education secular, do it in a controlled way. In this way the least harm will come in this way. Otherwise that education must have its it comes with its baggage. It has to come with its baggage. I'll finish on this now inshallah. In about 92 there was a seminar symposium held in the country on government level with regard to education, that are we going in the right direction, what changes must we make, what all the details of it. In there one question came up, that why must we teach Shakespeare today? Shakespeare is old Victorian English, thou, thee, thy, all that. And today if you want to become a doctor, no books are written in Shakespearean language. They are written in modern English. You want to become an engineer, all the books are in modern English, you don't need it. So why must still Shakespeare be taught? And also not only taught, I'm speaking of our time, I don't know today what is the situation. English language paper used to be made up of grammar and literature and composition, three papers. And 2/3 of the mark was for literature. Language, grammar and that, and composition was 1/3. Literature was 2/3. And 2/3, major part was Shakespeare. That was the main. In other words, if you don't study Shakespeare, you fail English. If you fail English, you fail matric. Why also? Why if you fail English, must you fail matric? You can get 100 in science, 100 in maths, but you fail English, you fail. Why English is so important? This all they discussed. And they made no bones of it. Very openly and clearly they said that why we teach Shakespeare is because when we give a child a matric certificate, we are satisfied, we want to be satisfied that we have produced a Western modern Christian mind. And the only way we can do that is with Shakespeare. That's why the major part marks in English is Shakespeare. And if you fail English, you fail your matric. You can forget becoming a doctor, lawyer if you haven't got your matric. This is how they have done it. So this is what they want. And through Shakespeare, the teachings of Shakespeare in a very subtle way, just like one school teacher told me, family member long ago, he said the most subtle Christian propaganda and teaching the religion is Reader's Digest. We think Reader's Digest is a very nice book for language and for the stories and for all the things in there. But every Reader's Digest must have 2-3 articles where the plane broke down. Then they prayed to Jesus Christ and he came and he was their savior, he helped them, or some other funny story, and then they prayed to Jesus Christ and he came. And so we don't realize that they are promoting. We just so gullible, the Muslims. Just whole hook, line and sinker we take everything. We don't know how they are. So this is our safeguard in these times. May Allah protect us and give us deen also, give us dunya also, give us akhirat also. Yes. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا طيبا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Thank you.